This morning's message is stand fast, bold, and strong.
It's time for another Holy Ghost-inspired message from God's Word, recorded live at Living Water Church in Bridgeport, West Virginia. Now, here's Pastor Jerry.
Well, let's take a moment and just give Him praise. Lord, thank You. It's been so great to be in Your house already. It's so good, Lord, to know You and to just walk in that. Lord, You've been so good to me over the years. And You've been good once again to give another message today from Your heart. And Father, I pray that as we start into this Word, that it would penetrate our hearts and that we would take it and we would leave from here with something changed in us. And I'll give You the praise and give You the glory for that. Use me as Your servant and Your people that hear this Word. We would be the people of God that stand for You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 We begin this morning in the book of Galatians. Wow, it's hard to preach after that. Wow, man, I'm feeling the presence of God. The book of Galatians. Sometimes I wonder, you know, we look in the book of Acts and the Apostle Paul, so many great things that happened. And, you know, one night he preached all night. And the anointing being so strong, I don't know how he did it. Yeah. The miracles and the things that were happening, it was God's supernatural strength. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Now, those of you that came up this morning, again, a word for you. Stand fast in what Christ has done for you and set you free. Don't return to that yoke of bondage. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. The Apostle Paul talking to the Ephesians, he said, "As for me, that utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." One more scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Well, there's a recurring set of themes within these verses, are there not? Apostle Paul speaking to the Galatian church, then speaking again to the Ephesian church, and now to the Corinthian church. This morning's message is stand fast, bold, and strong. And as I sought the Lord regarding the message here this morning for the church, I know that in times past I have brought similar words to this, to Living Water Church. And I said, "Lord, do You want me to bring this again?" And the Lord said, "Yes. Yes." And this is so important for us. Stand fast, stand bold, and stand strong. And I want to talk about those things this morning and what they mean. Number one, we must not become complacent in our faith, especially when there's good times and blessings that are happening in our lives. Because this is one of the easiest times to become complacent. And sometimes folks wonder, you know, why tribulation and trials come into their lives. They wonder why things happen, maybe physically or emotionally, spiritually, because God is sometimes trying to get our attention because we've become too complacent and say, well, whatever, you know, God's the same, church is the same, I'm just being blessed and blessed and blessed. God will allow sometimes some things to come into our lives to knock us off of that horse. Because it's a natural thing for us to do. When things are going good, we just ride it out. Wonderful things. We don't need God. Because things are going well for us. We're experiencing good times. We're experiencing blessing. Living Water and Church is experiencing blessing. God is blessing us. We see mighty things happening. We see miracles happening. We see the good things of God happening. And I'm so thankful for that. And we want to rehearse those things. But the Lord has given me a sense that for the church of Jesus Christ, now this may be a prophetic utterance, but for the church, there lies ahead some trials that are about to take place. And I don't know exactly what that means, and we don't have to know what that means. But trials, whether it be governmental or whether it be things and false doctrines that might come into the church, and we've had our share of those things that have already happened. But as I was seeking God for this message, that was very strong upon my heart. And that's when the Lord gave this message. Stand fast, teach the people, stand fast, stand bold in their faith, and stand strong in that faith. Now we know that the Scriptures teach us the times are coming when those that once proclaimed Christ will then say, I don't need Him anymore. They will walk away from the faith. We also know that false doctrines will come, proclaiming things that are not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is so important for us to know the real thing, to know what God says. And that's been my heart. I know that's been Pastor Aaron's heart, our teachers' hearts, to bring the unadulterated Word of God to the people. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want us to take a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter speaks these words. Verse 6. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all of your care upon Him, because He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Now, what we know from Peter was true in his day, and I believe it's true in our day as well. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us always to be active, understanding that we have an enemy that would like to come in the back door, folks. Things that happen in our lives. You see, the devil's not going to show up at your front door. He's not going to knock on your front door and say, by the way, I'm the enemy. Can I come in? Because most of us would say what? No, you're not welcome here in this house. But if he shows up through the back door saying, I'm the plumber to come in and help, to fix something, you might let him in. Thinking, well, you know, I didn't know I had a plumbing problem. But I guess if you say I do, then I guess I do. We have to be very careful. And this is why Peter is saying, be steadfast. Be vigilant about these kinds of things. And I trust that God's word is true. And as a church, we've got to hold on to what God says. Amen? So when those things start to happen, perhaps trials, and things are happening in the church, and you have, you know what? Just because churches are going a certain direction doesn't mean that it's God's will. Many churches have been led astray just because everybody is going that direction, jumping on that doesn't mean it's God's will. I'll say that one more time. Because God is warning us and He's giving us this message. Stand fast. Let's talk about this. Acts chapter 14. Over in the book of Acts. Chapter 14. Verse 21 and 22. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know whether you've ever seen that or not. But they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Now that may seem like a no-brainer. What? We're supposed to continue in the faith? Yes. Continuing in the faith means more than just showing up at church on Sunday morning. And it's great that you do show up at church on Sunday morning. I'm really glad. Otherwise, I'd be preaching to nobody here. So I'm glad you are. But continuing in the faith has got to go deeper than that. It has to be in your daily life. It has to be who we are. And that we are the same believers at work, at play, at the grocery store, wherever we are at, than that same believer that we are at church. It's amazing to me. Those that I have heard claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, and they don't know that I have seen them out in public, and they don't know that I've heard them out in public. And I'm thinking to myself, where is the faith here that was spoken about on Sunday morning? Now, some of you are probably wondering, is that me? I'm never going to give names anywhere. But we got to be who God has asked us to be. Amen? Amen. By the way, it was none of you here. Because you're all like, whew. Standing fast. Let's talk about that one for now. To stand fast. The word there means to be stationary, to hold up. Here's a good one that I haven't heard in a while, to be stanch. Anybody heard that word before? To be stanch, or to hold your positions when trials and floods come. To be stanch, it means that you are going to stand in a certain place, and no matter what comes your way, you will be stanch. You will hold your position. You will not be moved. And there's some important things about that. Now, I only played football when I was a young man, like 12, 13 years old, because everybody else got bigger and I stayed smaller. So it was very important that I didn't play. And some of you heard me tell stories before. I moved to Virginia, our family moved to Virginia, and in ninth grade, I went out for the football team. And literally, I look like a grasshopper compared to those kids in Virginia. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not sure whether I should be here. So I got the position of tight end, if you know anything about football. The first game that I was in, I got down in my stance, and I looked across the line. I was looking here, but I didn't see anybody. So then I looked here, and I saw him. And he looked at me, and he said, I'm going to kill you. And I believed him. So on the snap, hike one, hike two, hike three, I did what I should have done. I stepped out of the way and said, go for it. Now that's an example of not standing fast. There was a game, though, that the coach put me in. It was a real game. And my mother from the stands was crying. She started crying immediately. And she started asking God, please protect my son. When the snap happened, the only thing I saw was cleats coming over my face mask. Coach pulled me out. After the game, my dad said, son, you don't have to play anymore. And I said, thank you. Thank you. But to stand fast means that we need to hold our positions when the floods come. I love this scripture, Isaiah 59. Would you turn over with me to the book of Isaiah? I know Pastor Aaron was preaching about this, and he's been in the book of Isaiah. He might be listening to me, I don't know, right now. Is he? Maybe he is, okay. This one's for you, Pastor Aaron. Isaiah 59. And we're going to go to verse 19 and 20. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. In other words, the Lord will give you the strength to stand staunch. When that enemy rises up like a flood, and he comes in like a flood. Listen, we've had lots of floods around here lately, haven't we? And those floods wipe out a lot of things. But the promise of God is when we have His Holy Spirit within us, we stand strong. We stand fast and staunchly when those things happen to us. And He will be with us. What's the promise? The Lord will raise up a standard. The Lord will raise up something that puts the hands up and says, you will not come this direction. You will not do damage here to my son or my daughter. Begin to claim that, folks. You may go through the trials. We may go through those tribulations. But you stand very fast. Say, not this time. I will stand firm. And I will not be moved. That song comes to mind. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. I want you to be very proud of me. I did not change the words to that song. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 43. If you go back just a few chapters. Isaiah 43. 1 through 4. But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed you, O Israel. Fear not, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since you were precious in my sight and have been honorable, I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. The promise of God when you pass through the waters. Did you happen to notice the word when there? We're not exempt. Folks, we're not exempt. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the fires, when you pass through the floods, I will be with you. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Next one, stand bold. So we're going to stand fast and we're going to stand bold. The word bold here means frankness, bluntness, and publicly standing for our faith. So this standing bold means that at times we need to be very frank and we need to be very blunt with our answers, especially when it comes to the Word of God. And we need to be willing to be public about our answers and speaking about our faith. Now, this does not mean making a public spectacle of yourself and just deciding you're going to stand up and you're just going to preach the word. You people are going to hell, I'm telling you. Because you could get yourself in a lot of trouble doing that. But it means when God calls upon you at that particular moment, no holding back from the truth. Okay? Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. And I love this verse because it solidifies everything that I just said. It starts out by saying, as you therefore have opportunity, do good unto all men, right? Especially those of the household of faith. It has to do with opportunity. God opening the opportunity for you to be bold in your faith. Okay? God opens the opportunity. Step in there. So many of us, when the opportunity opens up, what do? We step backwards. And say, well, I'm not sure whether or not I could actually help in this situation. How many of us have done that? Just a show of hands. God gave you opportunities and you just step back from it. And then afterwards, you feel really good about yourself, don't you? Because you get convicted and then you feel like, you let God down, you let the Holy Spirit down, you let yourself down, and the devil steps in right there and says, see, what a terrible believer you are. And then the accusations start to come. Come on, we've all been there. But don't let the enemy do that to you. Because what you need to do at that point is repent and say, Father, I missed that opportunity, and I ask you to forgive me, and I ask that you give me some more opportunities, that I'll be able to step in there this time. Okay? And you know what, devil? You're a liar, and the truth is not in you. God still loves me, and He's still going to give me opportunities. And the devil will have to say, okay, guess I lost that. Stand bold. Now when the opportunities come, It means to be very frank and to be very blunt. And I always say, when an opportunity comes, and it goes like this, someone is speaking and they're having issues or whatever the case, you stand in and say, would you like to know what I know about this? And if they say yes, doors open for you to be able to share. Okay? If they say no, don't say, well, Pastor told me I needed to be bold here. And I'm just going to push my way into that door and open it up and get on in there and set you straight. That doesn't work. I know that because I used to do it. Aren't you glad I don't do that now? One amen. All right, it's good. My wife says, amen, amen. I'm excited today. Listen, spiritual boldness. I'm going to put this up on the board here. Spiritual boldness pursues the truth. Okay? It works to destroy what? Lies and errors. How many of you ever heard someone talking about the Word of God and it was wrong? And you just want to like, let me at it. Okay? Wait for the opportunity, right? And it speaks what is right regardless of how scary it is. Sometimes it is a bit scary. Especially if the Lord asks you to stand up in a crowd or whatever. And the opportunity is there. To speak boldly and speak your faith, knowing that you have a lot of opposition out there. But be of good cheer, you're not the only one that's ever been there before. All the disciples were there. You look through the book of Acts, you're going to see that. But they took the opportunity to stand up for what was right, no matter how scary it was. So I read about just kind of give you an example what boldness is. How many of you like snakes? How many women like snakes? Any women in this house? I don't know of a woman ever that says, I love snakes. But there was a lady, and her children were small. She was outside, and a poisonous snake came up in the yard where the children were at. She was deathly afraid of snakes, just like many of you. But her children were there when that poisonous snake came up into the yard where they were. Though it was the scariest thing she had ever done, she ran to the side of the house, grabbed a shovel, and killed that snake. She was shaking inside. It was scary. It was scary for her. But she did what she had to do. That's boldness. That's boldness. Now, many people think that great men and women of God, they're just filled with so much. Nothing bothers them. They're not scared of anything. They just go rushing right into the... It is not true. Because sometimes things are scary. But you go in anyway with the boldness of God because the opportunity opened up and you go in and you take the opportunity and do what you need to do. Be bold to protect your faith, folks. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. The last one that we talk about here is to stand strong. Okay? This one... Whereas the other ones, you know, being stanched, staying where you're at, and you know, holding on when those floods come, and being bold to speak your faith, this one, standing strong, actually means to increase in your vigor, to continue waxing stronger and stronger. That means one thing. We are not called to stay exactly where you are for the rest of your life. Okay, great. You got saved. That's wonderful. But do you know how many people stop right there? A lot. We have thousands upon thousands sitting in churches across the world this Sunday morning. And yet, the enemy is not afraid of those churches. Because many sitting in those churches are content with being saved, and that's it. There's not a growing desire to know more of Jesus. There's not a growing desire to be filled with more of His Holy Spirit. Kathy was speaking about that earlier. We need that in our lives. And you've heard me say this over and over the last 20 years if you've been around. That old preacher that said, if you ain't changing, you ain't changing. And somebody said, Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. If you are not changing in your walk with Jesus, and you're the same as you were 20 years ago, Houston, we have a problem here. Well, it's the pastor's fault. He's not bringing what he should be. If he was, I'd be growing. Survey says, It's not the pastor's fault. Because you have a responsibility. Or you're going to go further in your walk with Christ, or you're going to become more vigorous. How many of you ever heard this? Well, when I got saved, I was on fire. I was on fire for Jesus. Okay. But where are you now? Are you on fire for Jesus? Let's ask ourselves that question. Are we on fire for Jesus? Well, you know, the newness wore off and now I'm just down to a little flame. Shame on us if that's where we're at. See, our vigor needs to be rekindled. That flame needs to be rekindled. How do we do it? How do we do it? Spend some time with Jesus. He'll rekindle that flame. He'll rekindle it. I think we should be on fire all the time. Anybody agree with me? Listen. Philippians chapter 3. How do we do this? Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Another one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot. The Apostle Paul said, here's my prayer, that I may know Him. Kathy prayed that a little earlier. Right on with the Holy Ghost, Kathy. That I might know Him and that He might know me. Right? In the power of His resurrection, in the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me, and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let as many of us therefore as be perfect or mature be thus minded, and if anything else you are reminded of, otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this thing unto you. All right, I'm going to break that down to you real easy. You ready for this? The Apostle Paul said, though I've been in the ministry for years, I haven't attained everything that God wants me to have. And if the Apostle Paul said that, what about you and I? How many of you have gotten everything that God has for you? I'm glad nobody raised your hands. I really am. How many of you want more? It doesn't matter how old you are. We have a young lady sitting here. She's 94 years young. But God has more for you. God has more for you. He's got more for you if you'll just say, "Here I am. I'll take it." How many of you have ever made this kind of a prayer with God? "Father, whatever you have for me, I'll take it." Now hold on, because He may bring you some good stuff. And some of you say, "That's why I'm not doing it." But He'll never bring you anywhere that you can't handle, because He'll be with you. But the Apostle Paul said this, I love this. "I haven't gotten everything that I need, but here's the thing that I do know. Everything that I messed up in the past with, that's gone. That's gone. I'm leaving those things behind, and I am pressing on towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus in my life." How many of you want to press on? You want to keep going forward. You want to keep changing. You don't want to be the same person that you were. Keep changing. Keep allowing the Lord to work in your life. Keep doing it. I'm telling you what, why should we do this? I'm going to give you just one reason why. Just one. Two, if you give me some more seconds here. Luke chapter 9. I want you all to turn over there to Luke chapter 9. You want a reason for pressing forward and not staying stagnant? I would say this would probably be the best one. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. "And it came to pass." Is everybody there? Yell at me if you're not there. And I'm going to wait for you because I want you to see this. Okay, Rick has it on the board. You ready? "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not anywhere to lay his head.' And he said unto another, 'Follow me.' But he said, 'Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God.' And another said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home.' And Jesus said unto him, 'No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.'" You want a reason to keep moving forward? Keep standing strong? Because no man that looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Paul said, "I press what? Forward. I press forward. I'm not pressing back." Today, that's my challenge to us. Forget about those things that lie behind you. They're gone. They're gone. Somebody say they're gone.
They're gone.
I'm going to press forward. That's why when somebody comes to me, and it's always been my heart, and they say, "Well, Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. You don't know all those things." And my answer is, I don't need to know. Because my Bible says, I press on forward. I press on forward. I don't care where you've been. I want to know where you're going. To the high calling of God. See, because we talked about this last week. If any man be in Christ, the old is passed away. The new is come. And I'm going to major on the new. I'm going to major on standing strong in that. Answer: stand fast. Stand bold and stand strong. Now you have heard it this morning, and God wants us to pay attention to this. Pay attention to this. Take the opportunities with boldness. Stand when things come your way. I shall not be moved. I want to end with a very familiar passage of Scripture over in Revelation chapter 3. And I know we preach about this a lot, but I want to end with this. Why should we stand strong? Why should we stand fast? Revelation chapter 3. Jesus speaking to the Revelation church, He said, I know your works. You're not hot or you're not cold. I would that you were either cold or hot. The condition of the church as a whole. Today's world? Lukewarm. Well, whatever, I'm saved. That's all I need. We don't care about the church moving forward and the gospel being preached and being a good witness and all that kind of stuff that the Lord tells us in His Word. Jesus said, you're lukewarm. Because you're lukewarm, I am going to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, I have goods, I don't need anything. And don't you know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you might be rich, and white raiment that you might be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness does not appear, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I'm standing at the door, and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, as I am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. So what we can take out of that is what? Stand fast, stand bold, and stand strong. We need to have that in the church today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your ministry to us from your word. And thank you that we get the privilege of hearing it. So much of it that we've digested today, that you would make it real, and that we would press forward. No turning back, God. No turning back as a church. And whatever, Father, you've showed me as to what's to come, I don't know the gist of it, I don't know all about it, but I do know that your word was for us to stand strong as a church. And when trials come, when we pass through the waters and the floods, that you'll be with us. You'll be with us as we press forward. I pray for the people of God. Lord, I pray for the church of Jesus Christ. Those that are saved, God would awaken God to the Holy Ghost and what He is speaking to us. We'll give you the praise and give you the honor this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
We thank you for listening to today's message and pray that the Holy Spirit touched your heart. If you would like to support this ministry, please send your donation to Living Water Church, 1000 Hall Valley Drive, Bridgeport, West Virginia, 26330. Living Water Church is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Your gifts are tax deductible.